Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music there this morning. What a blessing it has been. If you have your Bible, if you would look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, the very last chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 9 this morning. And so if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together if you're able to stand. As I read, you can follow right along with me. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, verses 1. The Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. For, and if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adverse adversaries." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in church today. And everyone that's here that's taken advantage of this opportunity that they had. And what we've already received, what a blessing it has been to sense your presence and be blessed by the music. But now, Father, as we have opened up the very word of God that you have preserved for us, I pray, God, that as we've read this, that we would open up our hearts and minds to allow the teaching of these verses to be able to speak to us. And God, as you speak to us through that, that we would be willing and ready to make any decisions that you would have us to make as well. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, actually is Paul's closing statements to the believers at Corinth. This is his first letter to the believers at Corinth. And verses 1 through 4, and I preached on this not too long ago, is the need for them to take up an offering for the church at Jerusalem that was under great persecution, as they would normally meet on the first day of the week. And they would normally bring their tithes and offerings. And Paul was encouraging them to be able to take up a special offering that would go to the church at Jerusalem. Verse 5 and 6, Paul would be coming to Corinth from Ephesus to take it to Jerusalem. Okay, so we find that Paul is in Ephesus, but he had plans to go to Corinth to be able to take this money that they had given to the needy church in Jerusalem. Now, verse 7 and 8, we find here, the Bible reveals to us, but for now, Paul says, Paul was determined to stay in Ephesus. Paul was determined to stay in Ephesus because of verse 9. And verse 9 is really what I want us to focus on this morning. He says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." The reason that Paul would want to stay in Ephesus and not go to Corinth, as they would have maybe have wanted him to come earlier, was because he mentioned that God had opened a great door for him in Ephesus. Can I tell you that Paul, the Apostle Paul, during this time had much going on in his life. Paul was the main figure in New Testament Christianity at this particular time. He would even write in 2 Corinthians, as he would write the second letter to them, And verse 11, let me just read that to you, but 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and verse 24 down to verse 28, he said concerning all that was going on in his life, he says, but of the Jews, five times receive I 40 stripes save one. He's under a lot of persecution. Thrice was I beaten with rod, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, perils among the false brethren. Let me tell you, Paul had a lot going on. He had been through a lot, was going through a lot. In weariness and painfulness, Paul says, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And then he says in verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. New Testament Christianity, the churches were being established. And yet as they were being established, there was much persecution of the churches. And Paul was in the midst of it all. Paul had much going on. The church at Corinth wanted Paul to come, and he had told them he is going to come, but he couldn't go to Corinth right now. He would have to remain in Ephesus. And again, the reason being, a great door had opened to Paul. Paul would not pass up an opportunity that God had made him aware of. Now, if you understand what's going on here, that's a powerful statement that Paul makes in verse 9. Can I tell you, as we study this and we study the New Testament and we study New Testament Christianity, we find this is a major part of how God works in our lives. This is something that we need to be aware of. God opening doors of opportunity. Over in the book of Acts, and let me just write this down, let me just read it to you, but Acts in chapter 14 and verse 27, we find here the Bible says in Acts 14, 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. This is this New Testament church here. And they had seen, and they were talking about what God had done in the church of Antioch here with all the things that were going on. And they said they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Opened a door of faith so the Gentiles could have faith to believe in Jesus Christ. He opened a door to that. Gave them opportunity. Over in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, just let me read this to you. In Revelation chapter 3, as we look at the church at Philadelphia that John has given revelation to concerning what's taken place there. And the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy and he that is true, he that hath the key of David, that's Jesus Christ. And it says, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Very evident here that as we find that Jesus Christ and how he works in this New Testament church age is that he opens doors of opportunities. And sometimes he will even close doors of opportunities in our lives. Open doors are opportunities that God provides through knowledge and understanding of his will. Now get a hold of that. I know that there are a lot of things going on and your mind could be running a lot of different directions and what have you, but let's receive this morning. This is a powerful truth in how God works in our lives today. Open doors that we find throughout the entire New Testament here and things taking place. Open doors are opportunities that God provides through knowledge making us aware of them, and then understanding of His will. Open doors. With that said, can I say as well that God has open doors that He would have all of us to take advantage of? You might not even realize it, but God is at work possibly opening doors in your life to things that you have need of. God is working right now. It's no coincidence that you're in this church on this Sunday morning, however you got here, however, whatever took place. But I believe that God was at work and directing in your life and opening a door of opportunity. If you didn't have an opportunity to be in this church this morning, you wouldn't be here. But God opened a door of opportunity and something happened in your life. You took advantage of it. I believe it's God's will that for everyone that's here this morning to be here this morning. Whether you realize it or not, whether you fully understand it or not, God worked in your life to open up a door of opportunity for you to be in this church on this Lord's Day to hear this message and be blessed by God. Amen. It's God. If you weren't here in Sunday school this morning, boy, how important a message it is to understand there's two main beliefs. Faith, it takes faith to believe both. There's a faith in believing in God and creation, and then humanity and evolution. And whichever one you believe will set you on a road in a totally different direction. But that's the basis for how we live our lives on this earth and the direction that you'll go in life. But this is God who works this way, the creator of all things, who loves all of us. For God so loved the world, that's all humanity. And He's opening doors to us. And we need to be aware of how God works. We need to be aware of these opportunities of open doors so that we might have an understanding to go through them and to be blessed by God. And at the same time, we need to have an understanding of these that God might close so that we will not go and do something that is not His will and be devastated by going through a door that God did not open for you. So here to start with, Paul makes this personal. He says, for a great door, because he associates this opportunity with God. And whatever God does is great. For a great door, an effectual, which will make a difference, is opened unto me. God is working in my life and He has opened a door, and no matter how much you want me to come and no matter how I want to come to you and I have all these other things taking place and there's a thousand other things that I could be doing, but I'm not going to do anything else except for staying here in Ephesus and going through this door that God has opened and taking full advantage of it. That's what's being said. See, Paul would be familiar with God opening doors for him. What we just read just a minute ago, go back there with me if you will, Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, something that would take place during this apostolic age that would be a part of New Testament Christianity. Jesus Christ establishing His church. And Jews and Gentiles would be the same. The Jews would not have any privileges over the Gentiles, nor would the Gentiles have any privileges over the Jews, because they would all be the same in New Testament Christianity. They would both need to look to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But in order to do that, we find here that it's written in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, they're at Antioch, and Paul is there at Antioch, the church is Antioch, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he, God, had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. He made a way for the Gentiles to have faith to believe and be saved. Yeah. This followed Paul's open door of faith himself. Because he didn't believe that to start with. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He was persecuting Christ and the church and anyone who would stand for Jesus Christ until God opened the door for him. A door of faith to believe. How'd that happen? Well, Acts chapter 9, very familiar to most, Paul's conversion. Paul is doing everything to persecute Christianity until he's on the road to Damascus and God opens a door for Paul to have faith to believe. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 3, it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined right round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, God?" He knew it was God, but he says, "How am I persecuting you?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Before, he thought Jesus to be against God. And he thought he was serving God and persecuting Christ and persecuting Christianity and persecuting whatever Jesus stood for. He didn't see Jesus as being Lord, as being the Messiah, as being a Savior. And he said, "I am Jesus." A door of opportunity to believe what God had just revealed to him, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus would be the Savior, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. This whole time, the Spirit of God had been pricking the heart of Paul to believe in Jesus Christ and not persecute Christ. But now he has an open door. And Paul takes advantage of it when he says, "And he trembling and astonished said," now not just Lord God, but Lord Jesus, "what will thou," he knew it was Jesus speaking to him, "what will thou have me to do?" Wow. You see, God is working to open a door of opportunity for every man, every woman, and every child of the age of accountability to have this opportunity to believe and to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That's what's going on planet Earth in this 21st century today. It's God working through his church and others who have received him as their personal Lord and Savior to be used of God to help others have an open door to a faith to believe in Jesus Christ. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, turn there with me. Jesus presented this while he walked the face of the earth. He presented himself as being a door. In John chapter 10, in verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go out and out go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. An open door, an opportunity that God is making available to whosoever will, that would provide them the knowledge and the understanding to simply ask Jesus Christ to forgive them for their sins and to come into their hearts and save their souls. If you're saved here this morning, you might not even realize it, but that's exactly what happened to you. There was an open door that God gave you of faith to believe. The key, the most important thing as God opened a door is for us to take advantage of it. When God opens a door and the conviction of the Holy Spirit is there, and you are given the knowledge of your need for Jesus Christ, you have to take advantage of it. You have to acknowledge God has opened a door of opportunity for me to be saved. One of the most important decisions, if not the most important decision that anyone can make this side of heaven, is what will you do with Jesus Christ? And when God opens a door for you to see him for who he is, you need to accept him and receive a gift of everlasting life that he wants you to receive. For it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to this place of repentance and go through that open door. Yeah. Wow. There's an open door to salvation. There's an open door to being where God wants you to be and doing what God has for you to do. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Understand this. God, there is a purpose for humanity. There has always been a design for man on earth. Began all the way back when God, we've seen it in God's plan of creation and how he created, in the order that he created, the design of creation. And then he created man, the crown of creation, to be placed in the midst of everything else he prepared for us. And then he put us on a time frame that would lead us up to understanding his love for us and understanding his having to send his own begotten son to die for us, having an understanding of his church, having an understanding of his plan for this earth in this 21st century. We see this in God's design for it all. It means that he has a purpose and a plan, not only for the world, but he has a purpose and a design plan for each and every one of us. But we have to go through the doors. We have to see the open doors as opportunities. He said to Paul would tell the church at Corinth, going back there with me, he says to them, "For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit, later on. I'm going to come. I'm trusting that God's going to open up a door for me to come, and then I'm maybe even winter with you. I'm going to stay there for a while, but I will tarry at Ephesus. This is what I'm going to do. You can't talk me out of it, because I believe this is where God wants me to be, to accomplish what he has me here to accomplish. Because a great door and effectual is opened unto me. That word effectual is producing an intended effect. God has a purpose for me being here, and he's going to work through me being here to accomplish something that'll make a difference. God has a plan for your life, and God's plan for your life will make a difference. It will produce what God wants it to produce, and there is an effect that God has for your life in reaching others, in accomplishing something that is going to be lasting. It's going to be accomplished for eternity. There's more to life than just what we see with the open and naked eye. There are spiritual battles taking place every day of our lives, and there are spiritual victories every day of our lives, and there are spiritual defeats every day of our lives. I want to make sure that I am winning the battles. If I'm going to win the battles, I need to be aware of it making a difference, my life making a difference, how I live, where I go, who I meet, what I say, how I represent my Savior, on and on and on again. We find that it is God working in the midst here. And Paul says, this is something that God has revealed to me. It is a great door, and it's an effectual open door for me to accomplish some great things for the cause of Christ. It's knowing that I am open to whatever God wants me to do. Can I tell you, that's why I'm here. And that's what I'm doing, what I'm doing. I believe this is God's will for my life, to be the pastor of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I believe not only is it God's will for me to preach, I believe it's God's will for me to preach this message on this day to this crowd of people. Because God opened the door. I didn't know who would be here this morning. But I knew that God knew who would be here this morning. And I knew that God had been working in each and every one of your lives. Because that's God. And I knew that if you would be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, and he opened a door for you to be here, that you'd be here. And can I tell you that everyone that's here was obedient. Whether you understand it or not, it's God. And I believe it's effectual. It'll make a difference. Not in everyone's life, because not everyone will receive what God has for you. And not everyone will make the decision that God wants you to make because of what you received. Not everyone will go through a door of opportunity that you might have this morning to get saved, and you'll walk out of here lost. Not that you could not have been saved, because God opened a door for you to have faith to believe, but you didn't take advantage of it. There'll be some that'll make decisions that God wants them to make, and that'll make a difference. And there'll be some that will not make the decision that God wants you to make, and you'll lose out on an opportunity to make a difference. That's just reality. Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 10, let me read it to you. As we have therefore opportunity, open doors. You get a hold of that. As we have therefore opportunity, which means open doors, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of God. Let us take advantage of the opportunities and then do what God would have us to do in the midst of those opportunities, and it will impact not only our lives, it will impact other people's lives. That's just what the Bible says. That's how God works. With that said, and I trust that you are on board with me and understand that, there's something else that Paul reveals to them that we need to be aware of as well. And there are many adversaries. There are many hindrances to going through the doors, to being able to see the open door, to have the understanding and the knowledge of the open door. Wow. There are many things that Satan will attempt to use to keep us from going through God's open doors of opportunities for our lives. Some are not here this morning that had an opportunity to be here that would have made a difference if they would have come, because of an adversary. I truly believe if everyone would have taken advantage of the open door that God opened to them to be here this morning, that every member that's not sick or out of town would have been here. Not only every member, but friends that had been invited by members, and co-workers that had been invited by members, and on and on and on you might have it. And I'm telling you, if everyone would have taken advantage of that, this auditorium would not have been able to hold everybody. So even though I'm rejoicing over those that are here this morning, I also am very much aware that the adversary kept a lot of them away. Not that God did not want them to come, and they could have come, and many of them would have been lost that could have been saved and would have been saved today, but they were not. They did not come. They were not obedient. They did not take advantage of that open door. See, sometimes a door will be designed as a trap, because it's a door of going in a different direction than what the door of opportunity that God had for you. There might have been some that had a couple different doors available to them this morning, and had a door of opportunity to be in church, but also had a door of opportunity to go hunting, a door of opportunity to go shopping, a door of opportunity to do something other than what God would have led them to do. But God opens doors, which gives us opportunity through knowledge and understanding to go through the door and receive the blessing that God has for you. So I have to be aware of doors of opportunity and doors that are designed to deceive. It brought me back, and I was thinking about this, I was preparing the message. I was thinking of a game show that I'm more than likely everybody here knows, and Let's Make a Deal. And inevitably, they'll make a good deal, and they'll have something of worth, and then he'll say, all right, now, there's door number one, and there's door number two, and door number three. You have to give up this. You have to give up something of worth to take a chance on something of more value. But what they don't understand fully is there's a door that has been designed to be a zonk. And how many times did we all witness them having something they should have held on to, but because of greed, they thought, I could have something better. And they gave up something of worth to take a chance on a door that was designed to be a zonk. I believe some possibly found a door to be a zonk that didn't come to church today. Didn't give them anything. They lost out on opportunity to worship God and enjoy the things of God and receive what God had for them, only to find themselves thinking that they made a better decision to get nothing and then be under regret and conviction and even chastisement. The Bible says in First, and I'm getting ready to close, we got to close here, but 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare." What's leading them away from God's open doors? More than likely, it's a trap, it's a snare. "And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Can I tell you, there's a lot of zonks in the world? But there's a lot of open doors that God has provided for us. We need to keep our eyes and hearts focused on God and go through the doors of opportunity that He provides. Open doors. That's how God works today. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. God will give us knowledge and understanding of the doors that He wants us to go through if we look to Him. As we look to Him and take advantage of those opportunities and we go through those doors, can I tell you, it's effectual. It will make a difference. But it's our choices. There's an open door to anyone that's lost here today to come to this altar and see in God's word what God says a person must do to be saved and be saved. That's an open door. God's provided. If you're not 100% sure, if your eyes were to close in death today, that heaven would be your eternal home, you need to go through this door. You need to come to this altar and let somebody take God's word and help you to receive the blessing of salvation. Faith to believe. Father, we bow before You. We love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. And as we see Paul understanding how You worked and all that was going on in his life, but he would not turn away from an open door. I pray, God, that as You open doors to us, that we would not turn away from them, but that we would take advantage of them and go through them. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.